Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Take Two in the World of Podcasting proudly present to you the WWE Tag Team Super Fans of the World, the Dream Craig Machine, the Badass Johnny P, Take Two Takedown.
And if you're not down with Take Two Takedown, we got two words for you.
Suck it!
Takedown, episode 32. We are back, John.
Yes, Craig, we are.
We're here to talk about everyone's wrestling needs, everything about Raw, everything about SmackDown. We got some news we have to discuss in the world of WWE. We have our tea bag to discuss. Well, mailbag segment. We do. And then we have our moment up and Right Coast Pro's event was this past weekend, and we need to discuss what happened there, because there were some big
episode
things.
Episode 32
mm-hmm.
is all about the money.
All about the money.
Money in the bank.
Money.
Money deals.
Mm-hmm.
Right Coast Pro. The profit making money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it's money, money, money.
Money. So, welcome to all of our listeners. If you do not follow us on the Twitter.
Because you're money.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
No, be money for you. And follow us at Take Two Takedown. Because you need to, because we are hilarious.
Yeah, $100 bills, y'all.
$100 bills, y'all.
Be a side dime.
T3 is money. We should get shirts made.
T3 is money.
Mm-hmm. We should get shirts made to say that.
$100 bills, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
All right.
And we have our mailbag segment. Our
sack of cash.
We call it our triple T bag. If you want to email us your segments, email us at tripletbag@gmail.com. You can email us your questions. You can email us things you love. If you want to, Mojo, you can just email us directly.
Yes.
Because we've been trying to talk to you for 32 episodes now.
And we love you.
And we love you, and we haven't. So, Mojo, you want to contact us? tripletbag@gmail.com.
Yep. Okay. Or on Twitter at Take Two Takedown. Or we'll give you our phone number.
Right, I'll give you my personal cell. You can text me.
Yeah, just hit me up.
But this week, we have a letter.
Ooh, from whom?
We have a letter. This letter...
It's good to get back in the sack.
It is. You know, we're back at it again. So this leather...
Leather.
This...
Red leather, yellow leather.
Leather. This letter is from one Sloan S., she calls herself.
Ooh, Sloan S.?
Sloan
Another
S. from
lady.
South Carolina. Another lady.
I like it.
She says, I listen to your show, and while you two sound ruggedly handsome, which I have to agree with... Don't laugh at that.
That was almost a spit take. Sound ruggedly handsome? We are ruggedly
handsome. Right, that's why we sound that way.
We are ruggedly handsome.
But I need to ask.
Oh, okay.
If you could change your already perfect bodies.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
And look like.
Yokozuna.
Any wrestler from the past or present.
Not what we look like.
No, what you want to look like.
What I should look like.
What wrestler would you want to look like? Sloan in South Carolina.
Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
Sloan, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. All right. I already know my dream body.
Right.
And it's more so because I respect the man.
Interesting.
I mean, my dream body would be to hold Becky Lynch's.
Right. But we're not talking about bodies you want to hold. It's bodies you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
And who you want your body to look like.
Okay.
Not to look
at. I think the entire package, I'm not, like, as
we're
much as...
We're not just talking about packages, we're talking about the whole body.
Oh, okay. As much as the no-body fat, uber-muscled and all that is appealing, I feel it's too much upkeep. What I really, really appreciate is a Seth Rollins body.
Ooh, I like that. That's a lot of upkeep, though.
CrossFit Jesus kind of thing, but that's a lifestyle more than just, you know, I chisel a way to look pretty. That's a whole... package where I do the work so that I can do what I want, so that I can keep up the physique and the ability that I do.
Yeah. I was having this discussion with my wife the other day. Like, I feel
and she said, please God, anything but Hornswoggle.
Right. Not this discussion of body, but more of people like Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, who obviously have not eaten carbs in probably 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel that when you are a wrestler and you decide to wrestle shirtless, like that's a decision and a lifestyle you need to stick with for the rest of your life. Because once you do shirtless, you can't go back.
If you decide to go re-wrestling with a shirt or a unitard, sometimes a little easier. You don't need as much upkeep with that.
Do you think that's why Roman Reigns wears the vest?
I mean, you can pull those vests real tight.
Yeah. It's like a man girdle.
It is. It is. But I'm going to go, if I picked one overall body that I would choose, I think I'm going to go with Elias.
Ooh.
I like it.
Big, super traps?
Big super traps. Very muscular, but not like Brock Lesnar muscular.
Yeah.
And he's like actual man tall, not like lady tall like I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're an ugly man and a horrible looking woman.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I like your choice of advice. Well, Slowness, interesting question. Thank you. We would like to know what wrestler you would like to resemble if you could.
That's true. She didn't even answer us. So Sloan and all other listeners.
Yeah. We would like your input. If you feel like talking to us, you can hit us at the mailbag, which is tripletbag@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Take2Takedown.
Yep.
You can pretty much do that, right?
Yeah. Just do any of those things. Let us know what wrestler's body you want to look like. And we'll read them on the show next week.
Yeah. You know who doesn't have wrestler bodies?
Who?
The other people on Take Two.
Also true. But that's why we host the wrestling show and they don't.
Right. So we have the greatest show of the Take Two Empire. But if you need any entertainment news, anything about your Dungeons and Dragons and Magic shows, if you need to know about soundtracks, if you want to know about spotlights on certain stars and directors, find your way over to the Take Two podcast website.
We got it all there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment hub.
Even if the rest of the hosts are fat slobs that look like Sloth.
And Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Yokozuna.
Like Fat Big Show.
Yeah, Fat Big Show. Yeah.
Mark Henry.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Not Salmon Jacket Mark Henry.
No, that's Pimp.
That's P-I-M-P.
Pimp. 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 But let's get into more important things.
Pimp Cash?
WWE.
Ooh. Good thing Pimp Cash came up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's making money? Dollar bills, y'all. WWE. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody knows about this, so we're just going to put our little thumbprint on in our take. I got a few questions for you, Da Machine Craig. So we know that Raw struck a deal with NBC Universal, which USA Network falls under.
Right.
Three times the amount, which was about $250 million is what they were worth. They are now going to make $750 million when all is said and done to stay with them for the next 5 years.
Which makes sense because Universal and USA was not going to give up this show. No matter what else USA has, their top-rated shows have always been
this or SVU.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They can have all the original shows they want, but they always do better with WWE.
So, in doing that, WWE was free to shop around SmackDown. Fox buys it for what has been reported as a $1 billion deal for the next 5 years. The rumor is that it's going to air on Fox Friday nights, and that they could possibly add an extra hour, so it would go from a two-hour to a three-hour show. Now, we all agree, we being the fan base, all agree that that may be too much.
Yes.
But we also all agree that they have an overinflated card on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, my questions to you, where do you think this leads the company with these two new deals announced, semi-announced?
I don't know. It's interesting because you got to figure out what they're going to do with this Friday night programming. Because SmackDown used to be Friday nights. It was recorded Tuesday and played on Friday. Like, I don't know if they're going to go back into that because I think SmackDown Live is doing really well. And I would like to keep it live. But you keep it on Friday night live now. That's taking away one of the nights they used to do their WWE live events. Because they would usually do them Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday nights. So now it's just a SmackDown event. Do you move one of their WWE live events to the middle of the week? You know, the non-aired stuff? So I'm not really, but... And on a personal note, this really just screws up our recording schedule.
I know. Now we're going to have to watch Friday. Wait, unless there's a pay-per-view Sunday. Wait Saturday, Sunday. Watch Monday. Record on Tuesdays now.
Right. To then prepare for Monday's or for Friday's show.
I know. So we're going to be under the crunch. Thanks, WWE, for fucking us over.
I mean, come on. You couldn't put out an email, maybe a mass email to all of your WWE Network subscribers like Take Two Takedown and say, hey, what do you guys want us to do?
You subscribe? We subscribe?
I subscribe.
I steal it from Vince upstairs. All right. So with all that in mind as well, do you think these two shows will truly have to compete with one another now that they're going to be on different networks and based on what the networks want them to produce? Do you think they're going to genuinely compete against each other as Raw and SmackDown, both under the WWE umbrella?
I mean, I don't know. That idea of not being on the same network is tricky. Like,
well, them both being on the same network, in my opinion, gave them the free reign of, if one show slumps a little, we can pick it up with SmackDown. If the other one slumps a little, we can pick it up with Raw.
Yep.
You know, we can do a tit for tat, give for take kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're on two separate networks.
Separated with, also by like 4 days. Yeah, like,
with two separate deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with two separate deals.
Mm-hmm.
Then is that going to dictate more of what does the talent on SmackDown do as opposed to completely what is the talent on Raw going to do?
Yeah.
If they go to 2-3 hour shows, they're going to be competing for the same amount of time, maybe on different days.
Yeah. But I can't blame WWE for doing it because you're, no matter what, you're going to get more eyes having this on Fox any night than you do on USA.
Right.
Like, you can't, and I would, you know, venture to think that when it comes to those pay-per-views, that we don't really understand who buys just a general pay-per-view as opposed to getting it through the network. There are people that will watch it on Fox and then buy a pay-per-view for the $39.99, $49.99.
Speaking of pay-per-views,
mm-hmm.
when they do separate these contracts and they go out, what happens to the now co-branded pay-per-views?
I mean, I would assume that their hope is that somebody who just watches Fox would watch a pay-per-view, see a Raw match and be like, ooh, I want to check that show out. Let me go check out Raw on USA. That's the dream plan I would see them pushing for.
All right. Last question when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the union of Nikki Bella and John Cena was a complete ruse?
Completely, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I was trying to sneak that in and see if you would catch on.
No.
But completely. Yeah, we got worked.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
got worked. My wife, who does not watch wrestling,
right,
hates wrestling,
mm-hmm.
but did follow the John Cena, Nikki Bella breakup,
mm-hmm.
Was totally taken aback when I said, dear, it's a complete ruse. They were just doing it for ratings and to get attention on the new release of the Total Divas show, right, which comes out this week.
Right. Total Divas, surprise! And Total Bellas and all that stuff.
Yeah, whatever it was, but surprise. So. Mm-hmm. I love my wife. She's not the brightest of bulbs. If she'd only listen to me for all that wrestling knowledge that she needs, we'd be set. And you know what that does to me? That chaps me Raw.
Oh, look at that.
See what I did there?
What a segue. See,
that was a dad joke.
That was a dad joke. So we start our lovely Raw this week. Raw overall, I think, was a okay show.
I didn't have a problem with
it. I didn't have any major problems
with it.
High
points, low points, yeah, but it was pretty good.
You know. We start out with lovely Kurt Angle opening the show.
Yep.
But then, of course, it gets interrupted by boss Stephanie McMahon because she just castrates him at any point she can.
Once again, comes out looking insane. Now, she was sporting the Ronda Rousey ultra pink raccoon eyes.
She was, yes. I didn't quite understand that. But we know she wasn't going to wrestle.
Is this a thing? Well, we know she wasn't going to wrestle because she was wearing a dress.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And
so we know that.
Stephanie don't wrestle in no dress.
Mm-mm. But she comes out. Then Reigns comes out, and he's all angry.
Yeah, he's all, management is trying to keep me down, and I'll get mine.
Right. But I enjoy, I actually kind of enjoy this, what they're doing, of then Stephanie being like, no, Roman, you lost your qualifier. So you take that up with Jinder Mahal. You don't take that up with us as management. You lost.
Wait.
It's over.
So now what she's basically saying, and I do like the fact that they're just like submarining and being like, no, you lost. Screw you.
Yeah, screw you.
I like that idea. But now what you're saying is Stephanie is going ahead and giving the talent the okay to make matches.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm. No, Roman, you take that up with Jinder. Oh, I can square away a match right now. Yeah. Let's do this.
Well, and even when they say that, and this is how non-over Roman is, because, you know, she says that, and then Roman's like, shh, I already did. I'm assuming, hoping the reaction from the crowd would be like, oh, damn, he did.
No,
nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody cared.
And then KO comes
out. KO comes out. Interrupts all of that.
We're excited about.
And then Stephanie's like, nope, we're going to make a match right now. Let's do it. Screw commercial. Let's go. Match.
He totally just sidestepped the best part of Raw when KO puts his arm on her shoulder.
Because they're besties.
And she looked at him like, oh, no.
Oh, no, you did not.
Oh, no. I know you think you got privilege, but you ain't touching none of this. Sugar Bear, you needs to step off.
The game is going to be upset.
Hana is going to eat your soul.
Mm-hmm. So she makes a match right there between KO and Reigns. Match, but that's not all.
That's not it.
Because once they're fighting, oh no, who comes out to interrupt it? Jinder Mahal!
Oh, silly Jinder.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I thought they were doing decent. Roman and KO were decent.
To me, KO and Roman can always be a good match.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not the best match, but a good match.
So Jinder comes out and ruins it. He starts fighting him, and then you need someone to help save Roman. The king of all things Raw.
Burn it down!
Rollins comes running out, saves Reigns.
You know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday Night Rollins.
It is Monday Night Rollins, even though it shouldn't be.
You know what it should be?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me.
Monday Night Rawley.
Why should it be Monday Night Rawley?
Mojo Rawley is the shit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know it.
You may not like him, but we know him as hyped.
Hyped.
We got hyped. We stay hyped. And we look forward to listening to the preachings, if I may.
If you may.
If I may, of one Mojo Rawley.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Seth Rollins, we'll call it Monday Night Rollins while he's on.
Right, right. Yeah.
Why not? He comes out, and all of a sudden, we have a tag team match.
So they do this tag team, Rollins and Reigns against KO and Jinder. And, I mean, it's good because everything Rollins does now is good. You know, he can't really do anything bad. Rollins ends up winning it by pinning KO.
Right.
And you have to figure the reason they even did this entire thing is because they're trying to use Rollins to get over Reigns.
And how did he win it? How did he win it? Say it the right way.
He'd love to do that curb stomp.
It's not a curb stomp. It's just a stomp.
The curb stomp.
It's a blackout. You can't say curb stomp. That implies he's a Nazi.
Right. Curb stomp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but what happens after he beats KO?
So he beats KO. They're cheering. They're excited. Yeah, him and Reigns, they're walking up the ramp. And oh, no! Jinder Mahal comes out with a chair and smacks
the piss out of him.
So slams the chair onto Reigns.
Rollins fall off the stage?
Yep, Rollins fell off the stage. Jinder was angry.
Oh, man. It was awful.
It was awful. It was awful. But not as awful as what we got to next, which is more Lashley interview recapping.
This was horrible, had no need to be done, and just should have been killed with fire and spears and death rays and hand grenades, then drive a tank over it, and then bury it, and then nuke it.
So this is the problem I have. We have Sami Zayn.
This is the only problem you have.
We have Sami Zayn bring out the quote-unquote Lashley sisters that he did his Facebook investigation for and found them. And it's three dudes dressed in drag as the Lashley sisters.
Why is that
One
not
of
funny?
Which has a mustache.
Why is that not funny?
This is the problem. I felt Sami Zayn did the best he could
with the bullshit,
with the crap plate that was handed to him. He doesn't write it. He just does it.
Here's a plate of turds. Shape it into a mountain.
Right. And I feel horrible for him. Because I guarantee you none of this was his idea. And they're just like, hey, what we're going to... Hold on, Sammy. What we're going to do? We're going to have three guys.
Wait, okay.
Dress up like the sisters.
This is your idea.
And one of them's going to have a mustache.
Wait, no.
And they're going to carry a dirty blanket. And a broom.
And a helmet.
And a helmet. And they're going to come out. And you're going to interview them. And they're going to talk all about how horrible Bobby Lashley. And it's going to be so funny. And you're going to talk about the family resemblance. And
oh, my God. This was awful.
So bad.
Can we move on to something better?
Please do.
Ember Moon and Alexa Bliss?
Ember Moon and Alexa Bliss. I do love me some Ember Moon.
I love me some Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa
mm-hmm.
Bliss, I think, is the best heel. And Carmella, as much as I dislike her, should watch Alexa Bliss be that calculating, maniacal, shrilling in a corner heel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this match was pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Alexa Bliss is good. She's good in the ring. She's not just good at promo work. Ember Moon has always been good in the ring.
Yeah.
You know?
So we get the shenanigans with Mickie James in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
She gets ejected, which is the distraction. Ember Moon gets the win.
Right.
But all in all, it was a pretty tidy little match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Alexa Bliss's, what, second loss to Ember?
I think so, yeah.
So obviously they're building a rivalry. They're
building,
there,
building to something, yeah.
Which tells me when Ember Moon picks up the belt, Alexa will be her first contender.
Oh, 100% believe that.
Now,
100%.
Matches that I did not really care about.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin and No Way?
Yeah, I don't... I mean, this is just like solid lower mid-card match that nobody really cares about.
This is like that piece of parsley on the plate that you'll never eat. Mm-hmm. It has no reason being there. It's just there. It's meant to look pretty, and it just does nothing but get in the way.
You know what? I'm gonna up it a little bit. I'm going to say it's not the parsley. It's that little like sliver of orange. Where it's there. Sometimes you eat it, sometimes you don't. It doesn't really serve a purpose, but it's there if you want it.
All right, so if we go with the orange analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Analogy,
right.
Analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with it because the only thing I took away from this was how Corbin won.
Yes.
Where he had to do the combo of the deep six and the end of days.
I loved that.
So I loved it. It looked great.
Mm-hmm.
My problem I have with this now is we are getting so far into nothing but finishing moves.
Right.
That we, the viewers, just expect that all the time.
Yes.
And I don't feel that's fair to the talent. Like, I honestly now like it when they get over in a match when it's a surprise small package roll-up or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they didn't hit their finishers. They just caught them off guard.
Because all you're doing with these finishers, the more they do them, you know, the more common they look, the weaker they end up getting because you have people like Brock Lesnar doing F5 after F5 to Roman Reigns and everybody, he just gets out of it. You're just wasting finishers.
Speaking of looking weaker, Breezango.
Oh, Breezango.
We like the comedy of Breezango. We like watching them in the ring. They're always fun at the live events.
Yeah.
But this is the second time, they lose to this B team.
The B team who... I did enjoy the fact that they were still coloring in their shirts with the Sharpie when they walk out onto the ramp.
Instant merch. Instant merch. You get yourself a Hanes t-shirt and a Sharpie, you could be part of our team.
You could be part of the B team.
I loved it.
The best part about this, because I agree that you're just... Why you're throwing them Breezango as opposed to just normal jobbers, I don't know. But they are. Is the, once again, the crazy celebration that the B team has.
They slide down the ramp in a chair together?
They take Coach's chair and they slide up and down the ramp and they're like screaming and yelling. Yay! This is the best thing ever.
We're so awesome together.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
How long until they go up against Wyatt and Hardy?
I really hope they wait on that, that they just ease them into that.
It's not gonna.
No, it's probably gonna be next week.
Yeah, they're beating us over the head with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now this leads us into the segment that Stephanie sold. We're getting to the contract signing.
The contract signing, which I will give them credit that I assume now every contract signing that ever happens, shenanigans, someone gets tossed on a table. Yeah. That's the only reason you have a contract signing.
That's it. That's all
it is. Because someone gets tossed on a table. That didn't happen.
I know. There was a handshake.
There was a handshake.
I mean, Rousey said, I'm going to take the belt and your arm.
And your arm. Because Stephanie did her best to Miz TV these two.
I was going
to
say, she tried to Miz them.
She tried to Miz them.
But the Mizzen didn't work.
The Mizzen didn't work. But then there was just that subtleness of, hey, like, I'm going to take your arm.
I'm going to take the belt and your goddamn arm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm freaking Ronda Rousey.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. Pretty much a beast.
Yeah.
I am still upset that all she is getting is primetime pay-per-view matches.
Yes.
When is she going to be on Raw every night, like I am told?
Right. And this does not count being on Raw.
No. This was a face shot.
Yeah.
This is a glamour shot.
Mm-hmm.
Does nothing for me.
No. This will be... We'll talk about it more as we get into June as to what is going to happen with this match, but I don't know.
Speaking of doing nothing for me...
Right.
We got a Dolph Ziggler-Chad Gable match.
Correct.
Now, I like both of these. I like to watch them in the ring, and I assume they would be good together. The match was okay, but these matches that Gable are in, where they're just feeding them the lions and letting him take the hit,
yeah,
just it's making him look weak. Right. I don't know if they're trying to do a underdog with a, you know, growth story or what have you, but
that's the only thing
Gable is looking like a bitch.
Right, right. And he's good. He was good in some of this match, but they're just doing this to him, and I don't know why. I don't see the purpose in it. I don't know what you're leading towards with Gable.
I don't know if they're necessarily leading to anything with Gable or trying to figure out what to do with him. I think what this did more was it allows McIntyre to come out.
Mm-hmm.
He drops that Claymore. God, I love that Claymore.
Just drops Gable. After the match is already over, just destroys him.
So, do you like this team of Ziggler and McIntyre? This seems to be an ongoing conversation.
I kind of like them.
I do, too.
I think they're good. McIntyre's good on the mic, so he doesn't need Ziggler.
But I think Ziggler together, is the guardian of the gate.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think they may keep McIntyre with Ziggler to maybe even bring Ziggler back up.
That's what I'm thinking. That they're not. They may have used Ziggler to introduce McIntyre, but I think they're going to keep this together to keep Ziggler up, not necessarily to have Ziggler bring McIntyre up. So I'm totally fine with that.
So then we have, I guess, what is the final? Well, not the final.
Not the final. This is just the
final women's
next
match
to final Raw Money in the Bank qualifier.
Okay. Mm. So it's Natalya versus Dana Brooke, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan for the qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalya wins.
Right. I mean, you did have that little moment of Morgan and Logan like looking at each other because they were both the ones standing there like, are we gonna fight? Like, is this gonna be a thing? Like,
I looked at it like Logan looked at Liv and is like, you tasty little squirrel. You tasty.
But they laughed and decided not to, and then just dragged someone in to beat them up.
Yeah.
But Natalya wins. So now we have the one we'll discuss for tomorrow, or we'll discuss with SmackDown. But now next week it is like the last chance. It's gauntlet match of what, six, seven of them?
Seven of them,
I think. Are all together to get the last women's spot. So
we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. So
then we get to Elias versus Bobby Roode.
Which I'm going to assume was your favorite match of the night.
I did enjoy it.
Did you?
I did. Elias is so freaking over on every crowd he gets.
I love Elias and his promo work. But more so than that, I enjoy watching him in the ring, which is hard because it's hard to find somebody where it's like, I like the total package.
Yeah.
They either like their promo work and not so happy with their ring work, or like their ring work and don't like their promo work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the whole Elias attacking Bobby Roode before the robe was even off.
Yeah.
I liked Roode then using the robe and throwing it at Elias to distract him. Like, I liked all of that. I was in on all of that.
All really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like how they brought it all the way up to where you thought Roode was going to land the glorious DDT and win this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Elias wins it.
Yeah. Throws him in the turnbuckle.
But as much as I loved all of this, the best part was Elias winning and cheering and celebrating as he walks up the ramp.
And he's at the top of the ramp and something happens.
And then you say, rawr! And Braun Strowman just comes out, shoulder smashes
and
Elias.
He lays there on the deck for like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah. They're like, when Braun Strowman's ready for his match, then he's just ready for his match.
Ready for everything.
Yeah. So they led into this earlier in the night where they had Finn Balor and Braun Strowman talk to Stephanie McMahon about being backstage. You know, she decides, you're right, you guys did great last week. I'm going to send a match now, tonight, between the two of you. And at that point, you see Braun Strowman crush an apple with his bare hand.
Which is freaking awesome.
Freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. So this is it. We get the Finn Balor, Braun Strowman match.
Finn Balor in the ring.
Yes.
Crushes him like an apple.
Mm-hmm.
So Finn Balor gets a little uptime, which is great. He hits him with the coup de grace.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look great and all that. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
When Braun Strowman ran into the pole.
What? Did that happen?
Did you, oh my God, this is that moment. Oh my God, Becky.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Becky, it's a pole again. It's like there's a magnetic attraction to him.
Like, I just don't understand it.
Balor takes two of the running power slams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And eats them.
Yeah.
So what I like after the match is Strowman literally picks up Balor.
Yes.
And we thought, oh my God, he's going to destroy him after winning. He's going to destroy
him. Which is what he does half the time. Yeah.
But no, he picks him up. He slumps him in the corner out of a sign of respect. And as he's walking away, he's like, I like you, Balor.
Yeah. I'm going to keep you.
Yeah. I like you, Balor. I didn't kill you this time.
This time.
So where does this put them in Money in the Bank?
I don't know. Are they friends? Are they not friends? Are they I don't know what they're doing.
Who cares?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I just know when it comes down to it, Strowman is just going to jump up and grab the briefcase without a ladder.
Man. You know what else Strowman can do?
Mm-hmm.
He can lay the smack down.
Oh,
dad joke there, too. See how I did that? You didn't know that was happening.
Didn't
this
know
week.
That was coming. Yep. Smackdown this
he
week.
He lays a smackdown.
Starts with our best segment of television ever, Miz TV.
Oh, we love us some Miz TV.
We love us some Miz TV.
See, now this is what I was getting at. I love watching The Miz do all his promo work. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yes.
I actually enjoy him in the ring, too. He's another one, like Elias.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wish they had a better program between him and Elias, mm-hmm. because I thought the two of them could have played each other so damn well.
I agree. Yeah.
But next to that, promo work, New Day.
New Day, yeah. New Day's promo work, New Day's backstage work, I love.
Oh, my God. My favorite part of this whole segment was when Miz was like, I'm not wrestling you guys, and they shamed him.
By throwing pancakes at him.
Shame! Shame!
Shame. It was awesome!
All right, so they sit down. He's trying to figure out, of the three, who's going to compete in Money in the Bank, because obviously he has a vested interest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they keep farting around with them, giving them, it's going to be Kofi. It's going to be Xavier.
Mm.
Nope, it's going to be Big E. Oh, so it's going to be Big E. Well, yes, but not at Money in the Bank. Here, tonight, right now.
Right now, against you.
And that's when they shamed him because the Miz was like, I'll beat you guys anytime, but not tonight. I'm not ready. I don't want to. So he runs in the back, gets stopped by leather-clad Paige.
Mm-hmm. Paige here.
Yeah, Paige here. Hi. And she sends him back out. He goes back out like a whipped puppy. And
yep.
Has to wrestle Big E.
Which
he beats.
Only because the bar comes in and causes a distraction.
Oh, my God. Did you see that move Kofi did?
That move. I have here written down. Kofi jumps off Cesaro.
Oh, my God.
So Kofi goes from the steel steps, steps on Cesaro's shoulder,
Springboards
off of him to jump onto Sheamus.
That is why Kofi was, is, and will be amazing.
Yeah.
Until he stops doing stuff like that.
That was ridiculous.
I can watch Kofi every match.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, and I loved it.
Oh, my God, that was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much. I love you so much, so much.
So we get our next women's Money in the Bank qualifier. We get the Ravishing Russian Lana.
I don't want to talk about it.
Versus Billy Kay. All
right. Now, so now, I thought earlier, like a couple weeks ago, when Lana comes out and says, maybe somebody's holding you back. She was trying to break up Rusev and Aiden.
I think everybody was thinking that.
But no, now that Lana has become Russian again.
Right.
She needs Aiden to get her over.
Right. And Aiden did a great job.
Oh, my God. That was great. Like, he comes out. He does his song. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Iconics come out and destroyed whatever eardrums I had. That mm-hmm. was god-awful promo work.
They're singing? It was beautiful.
It was awful.
It was like angels singing.
Well, Billy Kay looked like a seal being beaten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, sounded like and looked like it. And I was just like, oh, God, this is awful. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to watch it because it's, you know, PETA not friendly
right.
kind of thing.
So you get English singing. You get Iconics promo. You get a bell ring. You get English pull up the Lana Day sign.
Yes.
A giant freaking sign from under the mat that says Lana Day to get everybody to start chanting Lana Day. They all start chanting. And then the match is over and Lana wins.
Yeah, she does some weird kind of hybrid hair pull face slam.
Yeah.
And then rolls her up in a small package. Lana's first career single win. She crushes Billy Kay in confusion.
In like 5 seconds.
This is only after Peyton Royce literally assaulted Aiden English.
Yes.
He had the right, the democratic right, to voice his opinion
and
that Lana is number one.
Exactly.
And
Lana
Peyton Royce
is the best.
Yes.
Lana's number one.
There's a song about that.
There is. There is.
So how do you feel?
Lana's in Money in the Bank.
How do you feel the possibility of Rusev and Lana both winning the Money in the Bank and being the first ever Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank?
Okay, here's the thing with it.
Okay.
I'd love the idea.
The
overall idea of an actual couple, kayfabe or not, being Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. I love that idea. I don't want Lana to win Money in the Bank.
So, you're okay with the premise.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like Uso and Naomi.
I'd be better with that.
If it was...
If it was...
Ambrose and Renee Young.
Fine with that. If it was Daniel Bryan and Bella, I'd be fine with that.
What if it was even like a Gargano and what's her name?
Yeah, Rue. Totally fine with that. If it was Finn Balor and that backstage announcer chick he's dating, also be fine with that.
Okay.
But Lana, I don't want to win.
I see. So you hate Russian blondes.
I do. I hate all Russians.
There you go, folks. He just announced it.
Yep.
Racist.
What do you say, John, about Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank, Rusev and Lana?
I don't really particularly care for the whole idea, period.
No?
No matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I hate everyone equally.
I'll give you that.
But no, I don't like the idea. Like, I think it's a gimmick, but I don't think it's going to float. Because after this, do you just have both of them lose their Money in the Bank matches? Do you have Rusev win? But now he's got to be crowned champ if you do that.
And then what do you do? Does Lana win and they both become champions together?
I don't know if you can do that because if you have a Carmella, you already have a Lana-esque champ.
So you're saying that because there is already a tall, blonde, white woman as champ, that Vince McMahon won't give another chance to a tall, blonde, white woman?
No, because Vince McMahon loves tall, blonde, white women. What I am saying is you already have the screechy, Heidi, annoying type of champion.
Mm-hmm.
And Lana will just come out and be Lana number one, Lana best. And that shtick, although I will say that shtick will get old real quick. Rusev Day is over like fuck. So. Yeah.
I mean, I have to imagine that either those 2 weeks ago when we thought that Lana was breaking them up, either there was a huge uproar that WWE actually listened to. Or somebody in WWE creative team was like, look, we have to just accept Rusev Day. Like, they didn't come up with it, but they have to accept that this is a thing now.
We don't have to fully embrace it, but we can ride it out until it dies.
Right. Let's ride it out by giving it to Lana.
That's how I'm seeing this. Let's bring Lana in, see how this works.
Yeah, give her Lana Day. Happy Lana Day shirts. Why not?
Killed everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of killing.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Andrade Cien Almas. El Idolo comes in, kills this poor effing jobber.
No name even given.
No, just...
Well, that poor white boy is dead.
Oh, he killed him. He
killed him.
Killed him
That dead, Macaulay dead. Culkin looking dude is gone.
Oh my God, he was
horrible. They did a great promo before him and Vega did an amazing promo before it. Half of it was Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what they said. But it sounded very intimidating.
I think they were ordering tacos.
I don't know, maybe. I heard the word quesadilla at least once.
Yes.
But it might have just been rolling somebody up in a quesadilla. I don't really
know. Like a quesadilla.
Right.
Okay.
And then he comes out and he actually does what he says he's going to do. And they are great together. They were great together in NXT. They're great together now.
They may want to find a place to hide.
They may.
Like, he straight up murdered that guy.
Probably. There was a trident and a horses.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you. It got out of hand real quick.
Real fast.
But Zelina Vega... And her second promo cut at the end of this match where she just literally calls out the rest of the WWE Universe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're here. We're coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a taste.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this.
I loved it. I don't know who they're going to put against him, but I loved it.
You know what I'm getting tired of, though?
Mm-hmm.
Shinsuke and AJ.
Shinsuke and AJ, they have their stipulation announcement.
Yeah. Now, I love heel turn Shinsuke Nakamura.
Correct.
He is at the top of his game right now, and I love the kind of crazy, weird stuff he's doing. It fits more into his demeanor and personality.
Right, and I loved him saying that his first stipulation, he said it was going to be a pillow fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And AJ is like, yeah, you may call a pillow fight, whatever. I know you're soft, and I can beat you anytime.
You're the king of soft style.
At which point Shinsuke says, bitch, please. And hands him a whole heaping bowl of bitch pudding.
Yes. Yes, he does. So there's shenanigans and fighting and outside the ring and onto the tables.
Shinsuke beats the shit out of him with everything. Then, Once he's beaten him with a chair and he's just laid out on the floor, Shinsuke jumps up on the announcer table, counts to 10, and says, the stipulation, last man standing.
Yep. And showing, look, I just did it.
Yeah.
That's the stipulation.
That's it.
Which I thought was great.
And AJ sells by laying dead.
Dead in the ring.
D-E-D dead.
Then we get another Money in the Bank pre-match, which is they are going to have a Money in the Bank. The Bludgeon Brothers defend their belt
against
either Gallows and Anderson.
Or the Usos.
Or the Usos, who are fighting right now to decide who's going to be the contender.
And welcome back, Usos.
Yeah, I don't know where they've been. I don't know where Naomi has been.
I think one of them's been in rehab.
Oh, well, that's good then.
But we'll talk about Naomi after the fact.
That's good then. But then Gallows and Anderson win.
Yeah. My favorite Carl Anderson move is when he climbs up the ring, drops that big kick, and he goes, hi-ya! I love it. It's what I would do.
Yes, I would agree. And I like the fact that Gallows and Anderson won because now this is somebody that hasn't seen the Bludgeon Brothers yet. This isn't the Usos. This isn't the New Day. This is somebody else. Like, I like that. And I hope that they at least have them do something against them. And it's not just a complete squash.
I think it can be a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson and Gallows, Harper and Rowan. Mm-hmm. Seem like good matchups on paper.
Yes.
I think it would be a really good match if they let it be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid they're going to let the Bludgeon Brothers squash them again.
That's what I don't want to happen.
Speaking of, did you hear what happened to Revival?
No, what happened to Revival? Breaking news whenever it feels like breaking.
Well, it's not really breaking news, but like we're wondering, are they going to bring up the Revival? Are they going to do anything? And they would clash with Gallows and Anderson a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Revival was seen on an NXT show. So did they break them back down to development?
Why? I thought they were doing fine.
I don't know, but they
even had them in a ride-along episode together.
So they had fallen victim to some unfortunate injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But and that kind of submarine their charge or their come up from NXT the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've been using them as punching bags for everyone else, giving them a little bite here and there, but never really bringing them up to a point where they could be contenders.
True.
So if this is just a sign, because they were down at NXT and they had a televised match with one of their teams. I forget who it was. But they had a match with them, and it's like, oh, shit, is the Revival going back down? And I don't even look at it as back down, but just back in for more development, or I don't know. But
and they're not going to, and do they just not acknowledge it? Is WWE not going to say anything about it? I mean,
these are two professional wrestlers that genuinely do the tag team because they genuinely want to be a tag
team. Yes, they want to be a tag team champion.
They have
not two people thrown together. No. Like, yeah.
And with the way that Raw and SmackDown have their tag team set up right now, you know, you need a team like that.
Yeah, why not?
So I don't know what's going on. I just know that it's hearsay rumor and
interesting.
I don't know if that's a good choice.
Interesting. So, I don't know, I like that.
We talked about the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the stripper move Temptress that saved them once, twice from the Bludgeon Brothers?
I think we need to, but before this.
Yes.
For anyone that watched this live on television, we had the Shinsuke Nakamura stipulation. You know, argument, fight, whatever. We had this contender match of Uso versus Gallows. And then we recapped the Shinsuke Nakamura stipulation that just happened. You recapped something that not even 10 minutes ago was on the station I'm still watching.
It's very, very important.
Can't you at least wait till maybe the end? Do that earlier? Do it halfway through the show? You don't recap something that just happened.
Was there a women's match on?
There was a women's match on right afterwards. So.
Yeah, so there was one coming up, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's why they interrupted.
That's why they interrupted, so they could do that.
Because they don't give the respect to the female wrestlers that they should.
No, because you got another Money in the Bank qualifier.
For the headlong, forging into the frontier of giving women the just due that they deserve.
Right.
You know, this is me holding my hands up, giving you that sarcastic look of, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
You know? Because the WWE is so forward thinking.
Yep, so progressive.
They would never, never interrupt women's matches with men's information that, you know, maybe on the Greatest Royal Rumble where women never... Sorry.
What?
We're still a little open. But anyway, so we get into a Naomi Sonya Deville. This is for the Money in the Bank. And Sonya Deville looked really good.
I think so, too.
And my ongoing thought was because Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore?
God damn, I did it again. Mandy Rose comes out with her, and we're thinking, oh, God, she looks beautiful. But we're also thinking she's going to interfere with the match, call Sonya Deville. Naomi's going to get in. But no. Naomi wins it clean
with a pin.
They both looked really good. Sonya Deville is looking better and better every match. She's getting a lot more comfortable in this, and I love her new opening.
Yeah.
Now, I might have an epileptic seizure with all the flashing stuff. But it looks badass.
I like the way they're doing it. They're pushing that MMA, you know, legacy. Like, they're, you know, just like they did with Shannon Baszler down in NXT. Like, they're doing that. They're not doing something different with her. They're like, no, she's like a real fighter.
Now, see, I have a different problem with, like, because Shannon Baszler and Ronda Rousey are more the MMA known names.
Right.
You know, Sonya Deville taking up the striker kind of thing. I don't know.
Ronda Rousey's not doing it. She just walked out in a leather jacket.
Yeah, and tears arms off.
Yeah, tears arms off.
So, anyway.
There's money in the bank that they got in there. Or bad crock of, I just crop know. Of women. So.
I just know Becky's in it.
That's all you care about.
You better win. Because what? I love you, Becky Lynch.
Oh.
32 episodes, my friend. I have said that at least once.
At least once every episode.
And I'll say it for 32 more, and then 32 after that, and forever's and ever's.
Forever, ever.
We're going to grow old together.
That's so sweet.
We're going to grow old together, but never having have met.
Right, right. Obviously not. No, that's creepy.
Did you see her little quinoa quip after Naomi's win?
I did. I love her quinoa shtick on the Instagram and the Twitter.
Grain.
Yeah.
And then she's like, anybody got a fork? And I was like, I love you so much for that. And our friends at Alleged just sent a picture of an Irish flag going, you're welcome.
You're welcome, America.
All I had to do was just, you know, stand up and clap. Because that was, what perfect. A beautiful gift. What a beautiful laughing
perfect
gift.
Perfect dad joking.
Yeah.
Then we end on Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy.
With Samoa Joe on commentary. Because whoever won this match gets Samoa Joe next week.
Right, exactly. For that Money in the Bank qualifier.
Well, the thing that gets me is Samoa Joe comes down just to do color commentary, right?
Yes.
He outshines all three of the other people at that goddamn table.
Correct.
And just own that whole show to the point where he's reminding them, hey, you have to comment on the match too.
I loved it.
And it was a pretty decent match. Now, when everybody's like, first time ever, Daniel Bryan faces Jeff Hardy in the ring. And did anybody else say that, which should have happened about 7-8 years ago?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Just, you know, want to make sure it wasn't.
Want to make sure it wasn't 2009, no.
But it was a good match. A lot of back and forth, a lot of high flying flippy shit. There's a lot of some kicks.
Lots of kicks.
Just
and
everything
airs
you would expect between a Hardy and Bryan match.
And then Bryan ends up getting it with the submission heel lock.
Yeah.
And he gets it. And the best part of that, again, being he gets the win. He stands up getting his cheer. He gets 2 seconds in before Samoa Joe comes in. He's like, no.
Daniel Bryan.
You fight me next week.
You're going to die.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Daniel Bryan, as much as I enjoy him getting over, I really hope Samoa Joe wins because he needs a win. He's lost too many times.
I don't know if they're going to let him kill a babyface.
I hope
especially
they do.
A babyface like Bryan.
I hope they do. Bryan can always come back from it. That's what he does.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But
that leaves us. We're done with WWE.
We're done with WWE, but that was not the only big things that happened since our last episode.
Ooh, what else?
Right Coast Pro Impound Steel Cage Match.
Lot of things going on.
A lot
there.
Of things happened this past weekend.
Some shady shenanigans.
Do we start with the big change, or do we start small?
No, let's lead them into it.
Lead them into it. So, we start with, we had the Shawn against Shawn. The Olympus Championship match. Yeah. Shawn Royal versus Shawn Donovan. Shawn Royal wins it, gets to defend his champion. He is still Olympus champion now. It
stays with RCP.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Gotta love that. Then we had some of our favorites. The Tag Team Championship match.
Who did Miles team with?
Well, we had the Crazy Kids, the current champions, versus Sir Spalding Savages. Versus Miles Millennium and a mystery partner that we weren't sure who was going to be.
And it was?
And who did he? It wasn't a mirror.
No?
It wasn't a giant standout of himself.
Was it a participation award?
It was not a participation award.
Was it a blow-up clown dummy?
It was the chick magnet, Mozart Fontaine.
I love that name. Mozart Fontaine.
Mozart Fontaine, the chick magnet, and Miles Millennium went together. But Crazy Kids 1 kept the belt.
Okay. Congratulations, Crazy Kid. We would have picked that one anyway.
We would have.
Slim Jim, we love you. You are our number 100th fan, follower, and we will never forget or forgive anybody for that.
Correct.
What I have to say is this.
Yes.
You get Miles Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
You get Mozart Fontaine together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to admit, just the names alone,
yeah.
I want to see this.
I think they need to keep this partnership going.
I need more of that.
I need more Chick Magnet and Millennium together.
I just need more of that. And I
Mozart and Miles together forever.
I love the name Mozart Fontaine.
Yeah, that's a pretty good name.
That's
a pretty good
awesome.
Name. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Fontaine and Millennium, partners forever.
I'm going to have to see if he's got like a trading card or something.
That'd actually be pretty cool.
Do you think they have a wrestling action figure?
They should. Yeah. Right Coast Pro should make their own action figures.
Yep.
Sell them at the events.
That'd be awesome.
For the kids.
For the kids.
I mean, we buy them too.
Yeah.
But that was not the big event.
No. That was just one of the big events.
The big event was the steel cage match of Brian Prophet versus the current RCP heavyweight champion Gene Snitsky.
Yeah, and of course Snitsky won.
No.
Wait, what?
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 The richest man in Haiti himself, Brian Prophet, won.
So you're telling me Brian Prophet won, and he did it cleanly?
No, sir.
Oh.
Shenanigans?
Shenanigans.
So many is afoot.
There's so much afoot.
See, Prophet knew he was outmatched.
Well, yes.
So he used the sport agent, Clark Kelly, and the Jason Wilson experience to his advantage.
How dare he?
Exactly. So he basically did some stuff. He had Miss Laura was there, and Miss Laura distracted the ref.
Well, I can see why.
So while the ref is distracted, you have to remember that Brian Prophet doesn't always fight alone.
No.
He's part of that Golden Dragon Dynasty takeout menu.
Yeah, the one that delivers to my house in 30 minutes or less.
Exactly. So his tag team partner, Senshu Ginshu, came out when the ref was distracted.
Don't tell me where this is going to lead because I know the dastardly deeds that these two have done together. Are you telling me that the Ginshu knife guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. He went in, bolt cutters, unlocks the cage.
Foul play here.
Ref didn't even know this was happening.
Well, because he was distracted by a beautiful woman.
So the Asian assassin himself, Mr. Ginshu.
Yeah.
Went over, sprayed some sort of blinding green mist in Snitsky's face.
A la great kabuki.
So we couldn't see. Oh my God. So bad that Snitsky had to go to the hospital afterwards for an eye injury.
You mean a local medical facility.
Sorry, a local medical facility.
For unknown injuries.
So while this happened, Brian Prophet, unnoticed by the ref, exited the ring, first out of the steel cage, wins the belt. That happened.
I can't.
That happened.
So what you're telling me, the Jason Wilson experience, the one that we had on our show.
Right.
Was part of this.
Was part of this tomfoolery.
You're telling me
mm-hmm.
that the United Colors of Benetton Evil.
Right.
Won in an underhand, surreptitious manner.
And are now champion.
I don't understand.
And poor eye-injured Snitsky. I don't even know if he's okay. I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
He could be blind.
He could be blind forever.
We haven't seen him.
He may have a glass eye in now. I don't know.
We haven't seen him on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know of his well-being.
No. You don't mess around with eyes. Corneas and stuff in there. Rods, cones, all that sort of stuff.
How is he going to kick babies if he can't see him?
Exactly. How is he going to properly apply the luscious beard oil if he can't see?
Now, I'm going to put this out.
Put this out there.
Mr. Prophet,
mm-hmm.
you may be the champ, and congratulations, even if you did it in an unhanded manner.
Right.
But you now need to understand this. There are people after you.
There are.
Not us. No. We'll just talk about you on our podcast.
Right, and then hide in a corner.
Yeah. We're not after you.
But
I'm
the
just
Snitsky
saying,
soldiers are out there.
Snitsky soldiers are out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming for you, buddy. You better watch your back.
You better watch out.
Your boys the Jason Wilson experience, the sports manager, Ginshu Kabuki, teriyaki sauce, And God, that really hot lady. Yeah. So you better surround yourself with what you got, because in America, the wrong fall to the right.
Wow, that's just pretty impressive. God.
I was having a mojo moment there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I liked it.
A little bit of the mojo felt.
The mojo hype was in me.
Mm-hmm. Like he says, he got hyped once and stayed that way.
Stayed that way, just like you.
I wish I had that ability.
Oh, okay.
I need a constant dose of hypeness in my life.
Gotcha. That's what Mojo's Instagram is for.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. That was Right Coast Pro Event. How this is going to lead into the next one, I don't know.
I don't have to see. You don't turn around from this.
No.
So I will say this. Right Coast Pro, these shows are selling. I sent out a Twitter saying, look, WWE gets $750 million for one show, gets $1 billion for another show. You know how much it costs to get front row seats where you're in the middle of the action and you could literally experience all of this at a Right Coast Pro production?
Mm-hmm.
$20.
$20.
$20 for front row seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The kids are there. Family friendly. You can have your parties there. Everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an event.
Yeah.
And you need to check it out, folks. You need to check it out.
All right. I need to take a moment.
Take a moment.
I'm taking a moment.
Speaking of moments.
Yes.
Our moment of.
We have a moment.
We have a moment of. We discussed it earlier.
I'm not going to take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait for the moment.
Ooh, that's a good idea. And we're going to give our moment.
Yes.
To a beautiful voiced one, Aiden English.
Yes.
Because no matter how we may feel about Lana.
Well, Lana is the best.
Lana, number one.
Yeah.
And Aiden English did a beautiful entrance for her. So that's going to be our moment of this week.
Hello, madame, messieurs, I'm the Shakespeare of song, Aiden English, to make sure that you all sing along. For the most ravishing member of the Rusev Day fam, she's winning money in the bank, and she's doing it with glam. And Worcester, you already know, before this day is done, that Lana is the best, Lana number one. Lana is the best, Lana number one.
There you go, folks. That was it. Beautiful.
Number one.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The best.
The best. Number one. The best. How soon until they start selling Happy Lana Day shirts?
I don't know. Does that compete with Rusev Day?
They'll sell them both.
Is it that, but then knowing how much Rusev loves Lana, mm-hmm. does he then give Rusev Day over to Lana?
No. They would just have, they would each have their own.
Like which they, am I to celebrate if I love both of them?
Maybe celebrate both. Maybe they'll make a happy Rusev Day on one side and happy Lana Day on the other.
What if it's Rusev Day Lana Nights?
Ooh, happy Lana Nights.
That sounds like a movie.
Yeah, that sounds like something that would be late night on Showtime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Lana Nights.
Happy Lana Nights.
Yeah, we'll revisit this.
We'll talk about that in another show.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks, for joining us on Take Two Takedown, episode 32. We're glad you could be here. Again, please don't forget to follow us at Take Two Takedown on the Twitter. You can email us for our mailbag segment at tripletbag@gmail.com. Let us know, as we talked about in our mailbag segment earlier today, what wrestler body type you would want. Who do you want to look like? Do you want to look like Dusty Rhodes, or do you want to look like Corey Rhodes? Or Ooh. Cody Rhodes?
You're going to go Corey Rhodes there.
Corey Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. The unknown other brother.
Right. The one you don't know. Trust me, it's worse than Dusty. Like, so bad.
Right.
Well, he lives in the basement and just eats Doritos.
If you think we are a Corey Rose of a show, please leave us some ratings. Let us know what you think. Give us 5 stars if we are not a Dusty Corey Rhodes. If we're more of a Cody Rhodes,
go for it.
If you want to be all in, give us 5.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
I like it.
If you want to be an American Dream, Figure out where you want to go with that. But we would love to hear from you. We'd love to get some of your ratings. We'd love to find out what we can do better or what we're getting right.
Mm-hmm. And remember, all of your shopping needs can be done by clicking the Amazon link on our website.
When you go to Amazon to look for Happy Lana Nights.
Right, Happy Lana Nights shirts. Go to Amazon.
No, no, no. The movie.
Oh, the movie.
Happy Lana Nights.
On Amazon Prime. Click the Amazon link on take2podcast.com. Click that link. Thank you for joining us, folks. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Take two, take two. And don't forget, I love you, Bobby Roo. Bye, Bobby Roo.
Lana is the best. Lana number one. Lana is the best. Lana number one.
Mojo Rollins. Mojo Rollins. I've already ruined it.
English. Hayden English singing songs of Lana. And now, Demi got John is singing songs about Aiden.
I mean, wait, that was pretty beautiful. It'd be like, it does get me hyped.
It is pretty good.
It's running down the ramp.
That's you running down the ramp.
Is it not
down? Ducka, 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 ducka.
Yeah. That's how music goes, too.
You look just like him.
I know.
You're so hyped right now.
So hyped.
I feel like Zack Ryder in the back of the ring trying to hide. I've never heard any music that ever sound like ducka, 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 ducka.
Well, some of us have an ear for music and others don't. And obviously, I fall into
Obviously, you fall into the ones that don't.
This has been a production of Take Two Podcast.
WTTP.
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 WTTP. Or WTTP.
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 WTTP.